Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining me on Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet that we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into cells and then reforms itself into the butterfly. As if that wasn't challenging enough, it then has to struggle. It literally has to struggle to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough for it to be able to fly. And while that is no easy task, neither is busting through the limits that society has placed upon a person. And my guest today, Robin, has some amazing stories of people who have busted through limits, and she has been along to support them along the way. She is my first, I think, speech-language therapist or speech-language pathologist that I have had on the show, and so I am excited to share her with all of you. Robin, thank you for joining me. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much, Shelley. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. I am very thankful to our mutual friend, George, who told me about you. And so for George, hopefully, if you're watching, shout out to George Bailey. He is the president of Z-Pods. And if you don't know about Z-Pods or you want to know more about George, he was on an episode. Oh, my gosh. He was one of my early episodes. So I'm at 77 now. He was probably in the teens or 20s, wow. I think, when his episode was on. I've known him for a little bit now, and he's always helping me out by introducing me to people who are busting through those limits. So tell us about yourself and what brought you to what limits brought you to our show.
So as you said, I'm a speech language therapist. I've been practicing for over 35 years. My passion is working with children on the autism spectrum. I retired 2 years ago from special school district in St. Louis County and worked in early childhood special ed and have gone through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of IEPs. But when I retired, my last 8 years, I had primarily worked with children on the autism spectrum. And I found that there is such a need for parents' involvement and parents' knowledge in knowing how to help their children at home. You know, speech language therapists, we do an amazing job making differences in kids' lives. But the problem is in the school district, and even when I did private practice or worked at Children's Hospital, it's like the time is so limited to give information to the parents to help their children at home. So after I retired, I started my business, RW Language Therapy and Consulting, and it's specializing in autism, family support, and coaching. And also at that time, I became a certified autism specialist because I wanted to specialize, you know, working with these families. I recently became a board member of Autism Speaks, as well as George. When I was working at the school district, working with children with autism, I became a certified the Hannon Center is a not-for-profit organization that trains speech-language therapists and teachers how to help parents incorporate everyday life, you know, communication or education in everyday life activities. So I became a certified instructor to teach a course called More Than Words, which I've taught for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Sorry to interrupt you. I thought you were finished. So that's pretty cool. And as you were talking, my brain went, dummy, she's not the first speech language pathologist you've had. I had my friend Courtney, but when she was on, she was my friend Courtney. She wasn't, she wasn't coming on as a speech language pathologist. So Courtney, if you're watching, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. She understands.
But yeah, so tell us a little bit, some of the differences maybe in the approach that you would use for a child who has a diagnosis or eligibility of autism versus someone who has a different eligibility for special education or for coming to see you in your private therapy now.
So with my practice, I do everything through Zoom. And a lot of people, you know, just because of the pandemic, you know, we've all had to resort to Zoom, but I continue it because it's so highly effective for what I do. So I am not a typical speech language therapist in the sense that my approach is teaching families. I do work with children, but my most important thing is to teach the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, whoever is involved in that child's life, how to use strategies to help a child communicate functionally or naturally during everyday routines, during, you know, going potty or opening a door or wanting something, you know, getting dressed, taking a bath. It's those everyday life experiences that are so important for parents and family members to know, or our caregivers to know how to help their child better communicate. Most children on the autism spectrum, you have to teach them differently because their learning style is different. And through this course that I teach, this program through Hannon Center, the More Than Words, I teach an 8-week program. It's like an hour session each, and it's all like evidence-based, and it teaches you a progression of how to build, you know, a child's functional or just like awareness. Mm-hmm. Because so many kids on the autism spectrum, you know, they're not aware of you, or they use you to get what they want. So, you know, you're building just that connection through like people play or people toys. It teaches strategies how to follow everyday routines, you know, like brushing your teeth. So many kids on the autism spectrum, you know, they're so focused on something that those transitions are so difficult for them. So there's strategies to teach a child with communication and visuals to be able to help a child naturally transition to do something else that they need to do, you know, get dressed, get their pajamas on, or you know, come to eat. And then, you know, I teach parents how to, like, different levels of play skills, types of play skills, you know, according to their child, because I individualize it to each family. You know, if their child isn't playing with toys, then we teach them how to play with a toy. If a child is playing with toys, then we teach them how to add communication. And it goes on from there. It's pretty detailed. It's like a probably 10-hour program over, you know, 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely incredible. So I was writing some things down because there was so much that you said just in that little part that I want to sort of pull out and talk about a little bit more. So first of all, the title, More Than Words, isn't it something, I think the statistic is like 93% of the average communication is outside of the actual words.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I don't know offhand, but definitely. I mean, so many parents, when I meet them, they're like, oh, they're not, my child's not talking. And it's like, but your child communicates.
Yes.
And that's the confusion is everybody, feels that talking is the only form of communication, but using backup systems, using pictures or signing or gesturing or using a picture communication system or a device, those are all forms of communication. And kids on the autism spectrum, they need that backup system because to me, every child has a right to effectively communicate. And so many parents are afraid not to let them do the other types of, you know, nonverbal communication because they feel like it's going to replace it. But it and actually it enhances their communication. And their child, their behaviors change because, you know, obviously behavior is a tremendous form of communication, you know, screaming, tantruming, biting, kicking, throwing. Those are all forms of communication. And a lot of times parents don't realize, you know, that their child's not effectively communicating to express their frustration or their unhappiness or their hurt or whatever the problem is.
Yeah. And that's so I think that that sentence that you just said there about you didn't say it in this way, but all behaviors are communications. That's probably why George put us together, because that is something that I talk about all the time.
Oh,
just in that regard in itself, because it's exactly what you said. And we tend to look at the negative or the unwanted behaviors and say that's communication. And it is, but it's also, if your child is happy, if your child is, you know, if your child is smiling or laughing, that's communicating that they're happy. Your child is, you know, calm and, you know, they're just chilling out on the couch, that's communicating that probably they're relaxed, maybe not, but probably. And so, yeah, the whole behaviors are communication thing is huge. And, I don't know if George told you or if I told you when we met the first time that I wrote a book. And in the book, I have a couple of stories that the parents communicated with their children who the world perceived as non-communicative.
Right.
But yet these parents and children had developed their own way of communicating with each other.
Right.
Kind of like, I know I kind of compare it to like twin speak, you know, where twins seem to have that like just natural, like, I know what you're thinking and I know what you're, you know, what you're wanting to communicate to me. And so, you know, that to me is huge that you said that. And so the fact that you brought up of parents don't realize that when their child is having a meltdown, or kicking or screaming, if it's not a full meltdown, but it's also teachers and society.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really, you know, most people that when that is happening, that person is trying to communicate something.
Right.
So that really excites me that you are working with families and not just the individual, because we tend to focus on the individual so much that we forget that there's all these other parts.
Exactly.
That need to understand too. It's not a one-way street.
Well, and when I, you know, when I was working at Special School District, I mean, when I've been working, you know, since the beginning, I became a Hannon speech language therapist really 30 something years ago. So I've always used that approach, that mindset of helping families. But when I, about 10 years ago, when I started working in an ABA classroom for, you know, most of the kids in there had an educational diagnosis of autism, and obviously their behaviors were quite significant in my class. Behavior, I mean, what I saw is all these parents, they were just like, they didn't know what to do. So that's when I went to Texas and became certified, because Hannon only trains you in certain, it's actually, they train you internationally, but you can only take, there may be 6 classes a year that you can take to become certified. So, but it was so important to me to be able to educate parents. And what I tell all my families is, you know, all the therapy in the world is going to be so beneficial for your child. But if you don't know how to carry over and how, the strategies to use, it's so limiting.
Right.
And your child doesn't, your child, you know, and I always tell everybody, you know, it's like every child has, you know, should have the ability to effectively communicate. And, you know, what I always look at is parents are their first teacher. Just I work with a lot of parents as teacher organizations through school districts. But parents are a child's first teacher. And if we can empower parents to know as much, you know, if I can empower parents to know as much as I do to help their child. My kids, you know, that I work with, they make phenomenal progress because the parents are informed and they know and they carry over. So my therapies through Zoom, a lot of times I jokingly say like I'm like a little birdie in the window and like watching, like I'll tell the parents, like, try this. Why don't you say this to your child? Instead of me directly working with the child, it's right. More of me feeding the information to the parents, and the parents are practicing. And then they practice the week to see how it goes. And then we meet again, you know, like once a week, typically.
Yeah. That is so awesome. That's an amazing, like, again, that's just such an amazing approach. And I think, you know, what you said too, of, you know, if we could empower parents with the same knowledge that we have gained over our careers, how much different families' lives would be and how much different than society's lives would be, because they would not just keep that to themselves. They would share that with their, you know, the child's aunts and uncles and grandparents and church members and neighbors and, you know, that sort of thing. Because when we know, we want to share what we know.
Exactly. And
so that's just so cool. That is, I'm so excited to learn more about this. So tell us, you mentioned before, like a communication device or, you know, maybe some sign language, but what are the other things that you teach about that are functional communication wise and ways to communicate effectively?
So typically what I'll do is I'll ask parents to give me a list of a child's favorite foods, you know, the things that they request. You know, the things that typically are snacks and drinks. And then we go to their favorite toys. And so what I do is I create pictures. And depending on the level of comprehension for the child, some kids may need a photograph picture of that, you know, like the specific brand of yogurt. And then other kids may just need like a, it's called Board Maker, which is a program that you can make pictures and things that typically speech language therapists across the world use. Mm-hmm. And so I could use Google Images. I could use, you know, like cartoony type of pictures. And so I teach parents, I'll give parents like maybe they might have like 20 pictures or 10 pictures of foods. And I'll have them put it on like a mini size poster board with Velcro. And then I'll teach parents how to teach the kids to, you know, request for the things that they want. And then the parents, I teach them how to model what the child's requesting. That's one thing that many, many speech language therapists do. It's kind of like a starting point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I move it to toys. I might move it, you know, I might have one for open door, you know, different people, different speech language therapists, some put them in like a binder. Some, I try to do it pictures in the room that the person needs, the kid needs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to go get food pictures in the living room if they're in the kitchen. So if it's easier access, the kids visually see it, and it's just that bombardment. There's so many easy things that could be created. And, you know, and I create whatever a family needs, I'll create it. I email it to them, and then I tell them step by step, you know, you want to laminate it, you want to get Velcro, and how to do everything. You know, prior to COVID, I used to do everything and bring it to them, their houses. But unfortunately now I'm stuck with just, you know, telling them. But it's so life changing. And the kids' behaviors just decrease because they get what they want. Yeah. You know, because so many kids, they're screaming or they're pulling their parent, and the parent's like, I don't know. And the kids get frustrated. But if you have those visual choices of the things that they really, really want, odds are it's going to be one of those.
Right. And when you were talking about laminating and Velcro, I was smiling because I should have had stock in both of those products when I was a teacher, because I bought them constantly because I did, like I said, you know, not only in my book, but the two that were in the book are, they happen to be former students. And so, yeah, I had visual schedules for majority of my students. And, you know, we would just do all kinds of things. And all teachers probably should have stock in laminating material because we're all running around laminating things constantly to reuse them.
Right. Well, because kids will tear them.
Well, yeah. And yeah, and if it's wet. Something that, yeah, that you want to use or move around with and keep clean. Yes. But I remember not just Board Maker, but also something called PEX. I worked with a phenomenal speech language pathologist, Donna Horseman. Shout out if you're watching, Donna. And yeah, she was amazing with all the ideas and the suggestions that she had for us as teachers to help all of our students, no matter what their level or mode of communication was. She, I felt, did a fabulous job with that. So yeah, I remember Board Maker. I remember PEX. I had a student who had an AAC device. I eventually had two students that we had using iPads with
talking
programs on them. And so there's so many, like you said, there's just so many different ways.
Right.
And to lessen, and to, oftentimes people will say, you know, oh, this kid's having this behavior and this behavior, and they'll want me to fix the behavior. And I don't necessarily address the behavior.
Right.
I do what you're talking about. I say, well, what's the communication behind it? What is the child needing? And so it isn't always, okay, well, you know, you're going to be disciplined or you're going to be rewarded for the behavior. It's let's figure out what you're saying.
Exactly.
And then that will take care of the behavior because it is.
Exactly.
It's, communication is such.
It's vital.
It is. It's an integral and it's a 24/7, 365 thing. You know, whether we mean to or not,
right.
We're communicating all the time.
Exactly.
I have to be very careful when I was teaching. I had to be, and I still have to be, when I was teaching, that if a student gave me the wrong answer, to just keep my face the same.
Right.
Because I didn't want to give any clues
that,
oh, you just gave me the wrong answer, you know, or if I repeated a question that, you know, they were like, well, did I get this right? And I'd be like, well, what do you think? You know, and I would try. It was something I really worked at to try to just be very tonal in the same way all the time in order to not give any hints away. But I still have to be very careful because I speak a lot with my face. I communicate a lot. I should say not speak, but yeah, you know, like you mentioned before, communicating is different than talking. And I'm so glad that you have this service available to the people in the St. Louis area. But if I recall from our conversation, and you said it, you do it on Zoom. So it's not just that you're helping students in the St. Louis area.
No. I've seen families across the United States, but I also have a very special family that I see that's in South Africa.
That's incredible.
And it's the craziest story because, you know, when I started my business 2 years ago, you know, I go on different Facebook pages and sometimes if I see, you know, I'm on different Facebook pages of, you know, kids with special needs or families with kids with special needs or, you know, autism moms or, you know, anything related to that where a child would have some type of communication need. And so, you know, I would just put in like, you know, this is my name and, you know, I'm a speech language therapist and, you know, my passion is with autism, although I do see kids all different kinds of communication problems. I posted on one page, I guess that was like international. And this mom, I know I can say her name because we're family now. She's like my sister. So, and I don't see her child anymore. Her mom, the mom does, but Louisa is her the mom's name, and Ada is the little girl. And Louisa, I'll never forget, we talk about this all the time. She contacted me on, you know, private messaged me on Facebook Messenger and just said, I have a 4.5-year-old daughter who is echolalic, meaning, you know, she repeats everything she hears. Okay. And so I responded, oh, could I call you back tomorrow morning? You know, not knowing where she lived or anything.
Right, yeah.
She said, well, I live far away. I live in South Africa. Well, so that was a year and a half ago. It's a very, very hard situation. The family, you know, you hear South Africa, like it's a very wealthy country, and it is in some parts, but unfortunately in her situation, they have pretty much nothing. And it's just so hard. So I initially worked with, I shouldn't say worked. I taught Louisa, the mom, how to teach her daughter, Ada, how to functionally communicate. So when we do it through WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And I was actually working with her 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, in the morning. So it's 8 hours difference. So it was dinner time for them. I worked with them 3 days a week for 3 hours a week for probably 9 months. They didn't really have much of anything. So I sent them, internationally, I sent them vocabulary pictures.
Oh, wow.
Because at the time, Ada was 4.5 years old. She didn't know what a phone was. She didn't know what a spoon was. She didn't know what a chair was. You know, I mean, she didn't know anything. And you would talk to her and you're like, how are you? How are you? What's your name? What's your name? She right. didn't comprehend anything. And I don't know what the cause is, they have clinics. She can't go to a doctor. So she's never been evaluated to see if she had autism, which I'm not a doctor, so I can't say, but,
sure.
But the beauty is this is the power of like, Zoom or through, WhatsApp and the power of me teaching a parent. So I taught, you know, every week we would work on, okay, let's teach her what these things are. And then let's teach her how to build vocabulary, build I want, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm tired. You know, those functional phrases. And I gave her pictures to communicate with. You know, unfortunately, like you had mentioned before about, you know, there's so many different options to help a child communicate. You know, I gave you one with, you know, making the pictures through BoardMaker. But most of the families I work with, if their child's in school, they have a system. You know, they have a device or they have an iPad. But many families I work with, you know, the kids are 2 and they haven't gone into the school district. So they don't have the funding to get a device. So I'm like at the very beginning. And the same thing with this family. You know, I mean, I had to mail everything internationally. So anyway,
expensive.
It was
and takes time.
And so when I was teaching Ada or teaching her mom how to help Ada communicate like with other people, I sent her 2 Barbie dolls. And, you know, she's never seen a Barbie doll in her life. She had like a block and a pencil and a few other things. I mean, she didn't have anything. And I'll tell you, it was like almost $100 to send two Barbie dolls for shipping. But it doesn't matter because she needed it. And so we got to the point where a doll was, the Barbie and Bonnie were the names that she came up with. And Barbie and Bonnie wanted to play together. They wanted to go eat. And, you know, so I taught the mom how to, like, teach a doll how to answer questions, how to formulate sentences, vocabulary, have a conversation. And so now it's a year and a half later, and Ada, I don't see her for therapy anymore. Mom does everything on her own. And you had mentioned about, previously that how, I forget what you were saying about other people, once you learn it, you could help others. Okay. And so the system in South Africa, it's so unfortunate for people that are poor, I guess is the best word to put it. Once you're 35, you basically lose your job. And because it's the youth that gets jobs. So the mom and dad have been without a job for probably seven years. And so crazy. We've been trying to process, how can she make money? How can Louisa make money? And a few weeks ago, we talked about, it just hit me. I was like, Louisa, you can be a parent mentor of other parents who have children that have come up to you and said, what happened to your daughter? How come she's talking so much? How come she can answer questions? How come she can, communicate and have conversations? And I said, you know the skills to help them. I said, you're not a teacher, but you could, and I would be happy to, advise you, but you could be a parent mentor and give them support and give them hope and give them ideas. So that's, she's going to be making a business. I'm going to make a business card for her, and we're going to start on her mentoring other parents, because
that's so cool.
She's we always joke about, she's my mini me. and she is just phenomenal because we've spent so long, teaching mom how to help her daughter. It's just incredible when you give, it's like I always tell parents, I don't know anything about accounting. My specialty is speech language therapy. Right. But if you tell me what I need to know, then I could do my taxes, or then I could do what I need to know. And it's the same thing with, if I can empower parents with the knowledge that they need to know how to help their child, that child has no limits. That child could do anything and do anything. They're not stuck in, I wonder if they're going to talk. I wonder. It's like, you don't have to wonder, because you're going to push that child because you know what to do to help your child.
That is such a beautiful story. And I love that they have become your family now. And I'm sure throughout you said it in the same way that I used to say it. You said my kids, meaning all of your students all of your clients, whatever other term other businesses might call them. But when we're those of us in the education world, when there somebody comes into our life, they become our kid.
Yeah.
And we are always, forever. They are our kid.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I've been out of teaching 5 years now, and I have had just recently I was interacting with somebody who is my kid, but he was my kid when he was 9 years old, and he's now 23, and I still call him my kid.
I remember.
So I mean, they're just embedded in our hearts. But so do you think that you physically will be able to go and see them, or possibly have them come to the United States, or has that already happened once?
The goal is to bring them to the United States. We've talked about that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Luis and I talk every single Sunday morning. I call her at 9 a.m. my time, which is like 5 p.m. their time. Uh-huh. And we talk for an hour. And every time we talk, we always talk about, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm in contact with people in St. Louis. It's a big process to, you know, for immigration.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And to bring the whole family, because she has a brother that's in high school. He's he's in his 12th year. So he's going to be graduating. And I'm hoping that, you know, he'll be the first child in the family to go to college.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that we could bring them all to St. Louis. I mean, it's like a no-brainer. It's something, I just don't know the process and like contact people and things.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to do as much as I can, but you know, I'm just a speech language therapist.
oh no, wait. Yeah. We just talked about you until you
I know.
That, you
That's
know,
right.
So you're not just anything. You are a speech language pathologist. You are not a travel agency or an embassy employee to know how all of those things work. So
that's true.
Yeah. But that's so cool. And that's such an awesome thing. I mean, that is definitely one of the positives that has come about because of the pandemic is
being
able to reach out and, you know, I mean, touching so many different families where in the past, if you had to physically be there, you were limited on who you could help. And so I'm certainly, with my consulting business, I you know, there's this Barbara Mandrell song, I was country before country was cool. And, you know, so I changed that to, you know, I was teleconferencing and telecommunicating and doing Zoom before all of that was cool with the consulting stuff. But it's so exciting to think about the impact that she could have being a mentor to all the other moms in her community and her surrounding area.
Right.
And to know that you are the spark that ignited that.
Well, and what I think is so cool is Louisa's, she is a completely different person. You know, when I first met her, she was very scared. She was very quiet. She cried. She said she'd cry every single day because she didn't know how to help her child. They never had a computer. They never had internet. You know, she didn't know. There's not like you can call a speech language therapist there. And so she always jokes about she has her own speech language, private speech language therapist, personal speech language therapist. I said, well, now you have a sister, but you know, I can be a language therapist when you need me to be.
Yeah.
But now she will talk about, you know, like other parents have made comments about her daughter not communicating before. And it was so hurtful to her.
Right.
And she's like, now I want to help them because those are the parents that are coming back to her worrying about their child and saying, what did you do? How did your daughter talk? And so she's so kind and so loving and so giving. And so she wants to help these families that, you know, in South Africa, the mandatory age for you to start school is age 7. So all of these years, the kids have nothing.
Right.
And, you know, in this, the education system is very different. And like, you know, we always talk about, if you have a child with special needs, you're put in a separate school and you're basically, you don't really grow, you know, you don't really learn skills.
Right.
You're not ever integrated into regular education. It's just like, okay, this is what, you know, you have ADD, you have autism, you have something else, you go to this school and there's no hope. And, you know, so that's what her fear was, is that her daughter would go to this other school. But now she's homeschooling her. She's so empowered. And I think that that's the most important thing is I can empower people to know what to do to help their child. It's like you know, like you said, it's like a caterpillar coming out of a cocoon into a butterfly. That child has so many abilities, so many options, because that parent was not our caregiver or aunt, uncle, grandparent. I mean, I work with so many family members. But, you know, the more everybody knows how to help that child has more opportunities to be that who they want to be and have more options.
Yeah. And that's so much fits into hashtag no limits, because like you just mentioned, we as a society have a bad thing. I can't think of a better word than that. A bad way about, if we see somebody who doesn't communicate, who doesn't speak, we automatically make a very bad assumption.
Oh, absolutely.
That is that the person doesn't know anything, doesn't comprehend, isn't somehow intelligent, or isn't intelligent at a high enough level, or whatever it is. And so the fact that you are helping these families learn for themselves, but also to teach their child how to communicate, so that people don't think that way about them.
Right. It's, you know, it's the greatest feeling. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I never ever thought that I would be doing this when I was a speech language therapist in the school district. Uh-huh. It really started like my last 8 years of working in the school district, when I really was starting to work with kids in the ABA classes, that I saw the need. You know, these parents were struggling. They didn't know what to do.
Right.
And it's changed my life. I'm so happy. I mean, to be able to make a difference in somebody's life is the greatest feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and to see these kids blossom, and to give parents hope, and to, it's just, it's amazing. It's just absolutely, makes you so happy.
And you can see that as you're talking. I mean, you are just
very passionate.
Yeah, you're exactly. And just glowing, you know, and with joy about the possibilities. And it truly is. I mean, when you give someone a voice, whether that is this kind of voice or some other type of voice. Yeah.
Yes.
The world opens up so much more possibilities.
And that's what I think the most important thing is to help families understand that communication is not a voice. You know, communication is not just talking. There's so many different, I mean, I have a 17-year-old teenager that I work with on the autism spectrum, and he uses a LAMP device, which is a, you know, iPad, an app on the iPad.
Okay.
And I mean that, there's so many different ways to communicate, and, you know, and I do work with him on his volume control and trying to get him to, communicate his basic wants and needs. But like I told his mom last week, I said, you know, his primary communication is his talker. You know, we can work on his verbal skills, but if he is out in the community, if he's working somewhere, he has to be able to have a backup system where he can communicate anything he needs, versus not knowing what words to use, and then you can't communicate, and then you end up getting frustrated, and then the behavior, you know, it's like if we can give them words through different means, they can, you know, it's like their whole world opens up to them.
Yeah, exactly. So something that has, and I see this, and this is something that I've always struggled with, and I still see it in IEPs specifically, because that's where world is when you're trying to teach the nuances of our language, how do you approach that? Like, how can you teach sarcasm, or how can you teach, you know, reading somebody's body language to have a better idea of what they're thinking or feeling?
That is out of my realm. Because I primarily work with 2 to 6 year olds.
Okay.
You know, I work with kids, you know, that are on the spectrum up until, right. you know, well, my oldest is 17 of my kids. Right. But I honestly couldn't tell you that because I just know like functional communication
right.
And just building conversation.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And I apologize because I,
oh no, you're fine.
Didn't catch that. But yeah, it truly is something that, because again, that's where we're seeing a lot of behaviors in kids.
Oh, is, absolutely. You
know, that they're going through something, they don't know how to express it, or, and again, speaking more specifically to people in the autism community, not being able to understand those societal norms or
right.
those nonverbal cues of, you know, getting along or being able to joke. And that's where most of my experience has been is from like kindergarten to eighth grade, ninth grade age.
Right.
And so I have this really my own bias, cognitive bias of when somebody talks about kids with delays or disabilities, people with disabilities, I think that age, I think school age.
Oh, sure.
I tend to forget about
yeah,
school and they still have a rest of their life to, yeah. you know, so yeah, I apologize for
oh no no. That, but, I mean you did bring up a good point which I didn't think about. One thing I do work with, and it could be any age, is I create social stories to help any whether it's a you know a 3-year-old or whether it's a 20-year-old understand social situations or understand, you know, like what to do in situations. You know, how do you go up to someone and get their attention?
Right.
Or what do I do if I can't do something? Or, I mean, it could be anything, moving into a new house, going
right.
on an airplane. It could be any social, you know, somebody took something away from me. What do I do?
Right.
So I create social stories, and actually I was accepted to, I have 10 social stories that are in this Autism Advocate Parenting magazine that started, my first social story went in December, and then I'll have 10 social stories each month. It's a phenomenal magazine
awesome.
With very practical information that parents could like print out and like use. I mean, they have, you know, like visual schedules. They have,
oh, wow.
score. I mean, it's amazing.
What's the name of the magazine?
It's called Autism Advocate Parenting Magazine. So there's 2 autism magazines for parents. One's Autism Parenting Magazine, and this one's Autism Advocate Parenting Magazine.
Okay.
But it's such, I mean, such a phenomenal, very, because I am very functional. Everything that I teach, it has to be relatable to everyday life.
Right.
And that's what they, you know, they have many doctors and have different articles from therapists and everything, but they always have a section of, it might be visual schedules for home. It might be, token boards. It might be all kinds of different things. But so they asked me to put 10 of my social stories in. So it's, I love writing social stories because so many kids, and you don't even have to be on the autism spectrum to need a social story. I mean, there's many kids just with typical needs that just need help on, you know, figuring out like, you know, I have a new baby sister or a new baby brother. You know, and just learning step by step. And it, you know, there might be like 6 pages mm-hmm. of just like single pictures. And it just tells them how to handle a situation or what to do in a situation. You know, I want somebody's attention. I can go up and I can tap them on the shoulder or I can say, can I, you know, I want to play with you. there's just so many wonderful things to help parents help their child.
Yeah.
You know, so many different strategies that are available.
There are. And the sad thing, I think, is there's not a central location for them to go to. I know, again, speaking of the stories from my book, that one of the people whose son is now in his 30s, she was raising him right not too long after the law had come into place. And everybody was still trying to figure things out. But she said, you know, if I could have just gone to, I mean, again, not even a website back then, but, you know, if somebody could have handed a booklet and said, hey, you know, here's all the different medical professionals that you can go to that will accept your child, or here's all the different resources that you can reach out to for this thing or that thing. And now with the internet, it does make things a lot easier, but I feel still is very difficult for people to find good, valid, reliable information.
I absolutely agree with you. And so when I started my business, I became a certified autism specialist. My focus is to create a Google Drive for each family that would contact me, whether I would see them for therapy or not. Mm-hmm. And I have a folder in the Google Drive for families who have a child with on the autism spectrum of resources. And I have Autism Speaks, Easter Seals, Fact. Oh my gosh, there's so many, many places. Mm-hmm. There's so many I just can't even think of that are so important. But I have the name, the phone number, the email, or the website. Easter Seals is phenomenal because Easter Seals has family navigators. So if you have a child on the autism spectrum, you can contact a family navigator. If your child is, you know, months old to 50, 60, 80 years old.
Oh, wow.
They have children family navigators and adult family navigators. And you tell them, I need a doctor who, you know, will help me. I need a dentist. I need somebody to get where to get my hair cut. I need a therapist. I need ABA. They will give you all the information that you need. A lot of times people will come to me because they've heard that I create this folder, mm-hmm. and then they'll contact Easter Seals because a lot of people don't even think about Easter Seals.
Right. Yeah. It's not something I would have thought
there
of.
There is my philosophy is I don't even have to work with a family. I can't tell you how many Google Drives that I've created for families that I've never, ever worked with. But it's important for me to create that folder for them, because by having a Google Drive, you know, the reason I created a Google Drive is because so many times you email people things, attachments, and then they lose it and they can't remember which email it's in.
Yeah.
Or they save it to their desktop and they're trying to find it. But by having a Google Drive and I label everything very, very organized, then you have it on your computer and anything that's related, you could stick in that Google Drive.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then anytime that I get more information of other places, there is a very important place, and I just cannot think of it off the top of my head, that has 500, you know, across Missouri. Uh-huh. It's Mo something. I want to say it's MOPAC, but it's not. Anyway.
Impact? Is it Impact?
Impact.
No. It's, okay.
I'll let you know afterwards. I cannot think of, I know him so well, but I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But you could look up and find, you know, anything you need. If you need, just like Autism Speaks has a phenomenal website that you, if you need a financial planner for special needs, if you need respite care, if you need, Autism Speaks also has where you can kind of like a family navigator that Easter Seals has. Slark has family navigators. Autism Speaks has, it's called ART, A-R-T, Autism Response Team. And it's similar to Family Navigator. It's just, I just want to let people know that there's hope. And because so many parents will call me, I've been researching the internet. I'm like, no, don't. I have it all. I've researched for so many years. I have all this updated information, you know, that parents have a right, or caregivers and family members, they have a right to know. Many people don't even know that, you know, insurances a lot of times will pay for ABA. A lot of time they don't know about, you know, like the Missouri, you know, regional center that eventually, through regional center, it could take 2 years, you know, once you fill out the application, it could take 2 years to be able to get, you know, approval and funding, but you could get money, help, you know, through the state. It's just so many people don't know this, you know.
It is. Like I said, you know, we have this wonderful tool called the internet, but now it's the opposite problem. Is before we didn't have any information, and now there's too much information and people, trying to sort through it all. And so this is your website. It is rwltc.com. Mm-hmm. And I will put that over in the chat.
Great. Thanks.
Looks like it's very easy to schedule an appointment with you. And we want to make sure that, you know, because I think what you're offering is absolutely phenomenal. And just, it's been such an honor to talk with you today and to get to know you a little bit more and what you do. Unfortunately, we are getting close to wrap up time. So I want to give you a last, you know, little bit of time to just wrap up and have a bit of encouragement or whatever last thing it is that you want to say.
First of all, just thank you so much. This is the first podcast I've ever done in my life. And I'm so grateful to you. I just want families to know that to know that their child, no matter if your child has speech language delays, whether your child has a diagnosis, whether your child, anything, don't ever assume that, you know, your child can't do something. So many families I've heard that, you know, I've heard them say, oh, my doctor says they're never going to do this. They're never going to do this. Don't believe that. You know, it may be the case, but you get help and you learn strategies how to help your child. Because the more that you can offer that child help, they may only be able to reach a certain level, but you're going to push them higher than what anybody ever expects them to be.
That's beautiful. And that I agree with that 100%. And the title of my book is Those Who Can't Teach, because all of the people in the book were told that they couldn't do something either by a doctor, a teacher, a family member, a neighbor, whatever. But yet they were able to accomplish, maybe not at a level that somebody else thought they would, but they've accomplished into that level to some degree.
So, exactly.
Again, Robin, thank you so much. Join me next week. The next 2 weeks, actually, I will have the same guest. Next week, Shannon Yakabachi will be on here, and she is a fetal alcohol spectrum disorder expert. And so next week, she's going to be talking about all of that and what that all encompasses. And then the following week, she's going to talk about her own personal experiences with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So you don't want to miss the next 2 weeks for sure.
Wonderful.
And I will put it in the chats again, how to contact Robin, and definitely reach out to her. She has some amazing resources, it sounds like. So thank you everybody for joining us today, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelley Keno is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shelleykeno.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shelleykeno.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.